hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Up under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We kick off this segment with a world record. Yes, divers in Toledo, Ohio, believe it or not, have set a new diving world record. Why Toledo, Ohio? Well, we're about to find out from Cheryl Patterson from Deep Blue Adventures, a travel wholesaler that's located in that part of the country. Cheryl, welcome to Scuba Radio. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Greg.
Now, let's talk about this world record that was set, I don't know what, like a couple weeks ago, right? Is that what it was?
Last Tuesday. Last Tuesday is when they became the record holders.
Okay. And they basically stayed underwater, this dive club in Toledo. I don't know. Are they affiliated with the University of Toledo? Is that what it was? Is that what I read?
Yes, they are. Yeah, they're students in the University of Toledo. They put together a scuba diving club about 3 or 4 years ago and been doing various projects. And this year they decided to take on a world record.
The world record for staying underwater in a confined environment, like a pool, I assume, or some type of a contraption like it, the longest. And it ended up being like 7 days underwater.
Yeah, it was literally a full 7 days.
7 days. So they would rotate from diver to diver, like one would burn a tank and then someone would go in and replace that diver. So there was always someone underwater for this event for 7 straight days.
Exactly. It was traded off in shifts depending on how the diver felt. It was anywhere between 30 minutes at a time and 2.5 hours at a time for the really hardy people. And at no point could you ever have somebody not breathing underwater. So they would have to trade off, you know, tanks, regulators, the whole thing underwater before the next one could emerge.
I know something was made or they had a special contraption to do this world record in. Was it like a clear aquarium type glass that people could watch what you guys were doing or what was going on there?
Yeah, I wish.
Yeah, no. Wasn't that glamorous, huh?
No, it was not. It was a purpose-built tank. The original founder and the first president of the club, his dad runs a company, Syntec Products. And I don't know what they do on a regular day, but that week what they did was they created a tank for them deliberately to be able to submerge in. And if you can imagine a plastic tank, the first model had a window in it, so that people could see through the side, but unfortunately they couldn't find a way through to stop it leaking. Mm. So eventually we ended up, the tank that we dived in for a week had no window, and it was not glass, it was plastic, buried inside sort of a metal cage, if you like, and it was about 4 feet wide, 4 feet long, and about 4.5 feet deep. So
wow.
It was not, you couldn't swim around, you couldn't, you know, it wasn't for anybody that was claustrophobic or uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds more like you guys were put in, I don't know, solitary confinement. You sure this wasn't some kind of law or some one of the club members infringed on some, you know, campus rule or something, put in time out?
Yeah,
I don't know.
The ones that were underwater were the ones that had messed up a little bit. Whoever upset the university had to stay down the longest.
Well, you were part of that group. You actually chipped in and did some of the diving too, from what I read. Is that right?
Yeah, we sure did. Me and my family went down there and took a couple of shifts to help relieve some of the students. So we did some time underwater as well.
Yeah. How did you find? Would you rate that as one of your more memorable dives or not so much?
Definitely memorable.
Right. Okay. Of course. But not necessarily one that you would fill a whole page of logbook entries with marine life and that kind of stuff.
No,
huh?
it's it's not going to go on the Deep Blue website as as the next hot destination anytime soon.
Right. Well, you know, it sounds like an awesome program, and obviously it created quite a buzz locally, if not internationally, when you're breaking a world record like that. Was there someone from Guinness on site to document this, or did you guys just record this for them and ship it in and get them to sign off on it, or what?
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. Guinness gave them everything that they needed to meet the standards, but Guinness didn't actually come out. They had a webcam that was running literally 24/7. It served to both live stream in case anybody wanted to sign in and see it. They had a screen there in the university student union building. In fact, that's one of the reasons they did a tank versus in a pool, was because they planted this right in the middle of a student union building to catch a lot of student traffic over the course of the week.
Nice.
So they had a screen there where you could actually see the diver underwater the whole time. And also, that video footage now goes to Guinness. And some, from what I've been told, some poor intern at Guinness has to literally sit there and watch the entire 7 days.
Wow.
To make sure that at no point somebody broke the surface.
That is too funny. Now, did any incidents happen throughout the week when this was going on? Did anyone almost bail, or did it go pretty much without a hitch?
No, it did not go without a hitch. There was definitely some challenges over the week, and I mean, they took them like troopers. They had, you know, it was just a tank at first, and I've got to tell you, when we did kind of a trial run the week before, my biggest issue was going to be how nasty that water was going to be by the end of the week. And I guess 2 or 3 days into it, the visibility dropped to almost zero.
They had a filter system going on, though, didn't they?
They ended up having a student that was very innovative, and about 2 or 3 days into the event, rigged some sort of pump and filter system and put it together and got it in the tank. So thankfully, by the time I took my shift, we had crystal clear water. But
wow.
A couple of days leading up to that, I mean, it was not much further than in front of your hand.
So
you can imagine that really.
But it was much warmer.
Yeah, it was much warmer too. I think they thought that the bodies and your wetsuit was going to keep you warm, and it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually had one person where it was very close to hypothermic.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Then at that point, the university, of course, was overseeing everything very closely, let them access hot water. So they would be dumping buckets of hot water all the way through the week to keep the water warm.
Wow. Well, so it sounds like there were some plenty of issues going into this that they didn't see coming, but they improvised and got it done. So the official record stands at 7 days even, or 7 days and so many hours? What?
No, it's 7 days even. The original record was 6 days and 21 hours. They wanted to add more of a buffer, and To a credit to these divers, they'd actually been in 7 days and 9 hours, but the footage messed up 9 hours into the record attempt. And even if you have a tiny glitch in the record, in the video, Guinness won't count it.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually served 7 days and 9 hours underwater, but the record officially will stand at 7 days even.
Got it. And do you have any idea who they actually beat? Who had this record before them? Do you know?
I don't know the name of the group, but they were a bunch of divers in Brazil.
Uh-huh.
So these kids didn't just bring it to the Midwest. They actually brought it to the U.S.
How about that? Well, God bless America. I feel more patriotic today because of it. And obviously, I mean, it's a great thing for diving. It probably increased their their club numbers, which was the initial goal, I guess. But all the extra publicity for it is just great for diving. This is good stuff. This is what we need in this industry, isn't it? More outreach.
That's
like this.
Exactly how I felt. I mean, that's why I got excited. I mean, the first time I went in there, it was the middle of the night. I was helping them out do something, you know, and I went away feeling good that I helped, you know, a bunch of young divers. But then I went back the second time during the daytime. And at this point, we're 4 or 5 days into it. And some of these divers had been there round the clock. I mean, they literally had set up camp for a week, and exhaustion was kicking in. We had a number of divers that were really getting fatigued because, of course, these kids are also juggling work and studies and everything else, as well as being in a tank, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
So, but I've got to tell you, the traffic that came through there from students to faculty members, every time somebody came through, didn't matter how tired these divers were, they would jump up, there'd be a big smile, they'd answer all the questions, encourage them to sign up and give it a try. And then on top of that, as well as every local media station that followed this during the week, and ended up being on USA Today and Today.com. And what I found great was every single time it fascinated the anchors. So it wasn't just a report. The anchors would then sit around afterwards and discuss scuba diving. National media attention.
Exactly. I mean, what else are they going to do on spring break? Get tanked or get in a tank, which is what they did. Way more constructive. Hats off to them. That is awesome. Cheryl, thank you so much for the update, and definitely pass on our congratulations to the University of Toledo Dive Club, okay?
Will do.
More coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExploreVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into ScubaRadio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at ScubaRadio.com.
You're missing all the fun. These people are great. Some of them have been partying all night long. They sing songs till they get too cold, and then they go sit by the fire and they get warm, and then they come back and they sing some more.
Hello, Seattle. I am a manta ray. Deep beneath the blue waves, I'll crawl the sandy bottom of Puget Sound and construct a summer home. Hello, Seattle. I am a
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving, and it is time to connect with Seattle or the Seattle-Tacoma area. This weekend, big dive show going on, Tacoma Dive Expo. Rick Stratton, the man behind the madness, is on Scuba Radio right now. How are you, Rick?
Fantastic, Greg. Thanks.
Now, tell us about what's going on this weekend. You got a lot of events. I don't know, a couple hundred or hundred plus exhibitors and just divers from all over the general Seattle-Tacoma area converging on the convention center this weekend, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's our sixth annual, I guess, and on my 10th annual treasure hunt. So it's a traditional dive show, and the fact that it's held in the convention center like a lot of the big shows are now, but we also do a dive event with the show. So it's not just a traditional dive show, because on Sunday morning we don't have the show. The show's closed. We all go down to the beach
and go diving, go do a dive, get a golf ball with a number on it, come back and do a drawing and then see what kind of prizes you win.
Nice. So that is right down there. If I remember, you know, we were there a couple of years ago. Is it literally the beach where you go diving right there, you know, at the top of the hill down from the convention center, or is it a ways away?
It's about a mile and a half away.
Okay. So it's right down there on the coast. You can actually see the water from the convention center, if I remember correctly, or the hotel there we're staying at. So you guys go down there Sunday morning and do this treasure hunt. You've chucked a bunch of golf balls into the water with numbers on them, and the divers go in there and fish them out and then exchange the golf balls for a nice little prize.
Well, they're not just little prizes. We've got fantastic prizes. Somebody's going to walk away with a full set of dive equipment, regulator, computer, wetsuit, computer, mass fin snorkel, the whole setup.
The whole shebang. Sweet.
Yeah, the whole shebang. So we're also going to do, we have trips to Fiji. We have trips to the Philippines. We've got trips to the Cayman Islands. We got lots of trips to give away. Trip on the new Aggressor fleet boats. Just a lot of goodies to give away besides the usual, you know, dive trinkets.
Excellent. So, I mean, do you need these type of prizes to that caliber to get people to jump into that water? I mean, for a warm water wuss like myself, I might need that added incentive. What do you think?
You know, I don't blame you for being somewhat skeptical. Actually, you know, it's amazing. It is that you don't really need much incentive at all for these local divers to go diving. It's neat that it's all kind of old school. You got a lot of people out here on the beach at 6:30 in the morning. We have a local coffee company who's going to sponsor a little coffee and donuts for us to get us ready to get in the water. And then, we hope for somewhat decent weather. Sorry about that. I'll hang up on that.
That's okay. No worries. Yeah, you got to work while we do the show. We're multitasking today.
Yep.
Not a problem. I mean, yeah, you know, it's hot and heavy. You got a show to run. So, okay, what kind of stuff would you see there off the coast of Tacoma? I mean, are we talking, is this place where you see all these wolf eels and things like that, or is that a special place you have to go to find some of those type of critters?
No, actually, Tacoma is really a fantastic little dive destination because it's some of the, you know, I wouldn't say best diving because there are better diving spots in and about the Northwest. But what Tacoma has is easily accessible, good diving. And the diving, you know, you can see a giant Pacific octopus on a dive that might be 10 foot on one side. So that's a 20-foot octopus, and that's not a big one.
Are you kidding me?
No.
They're 20 feet across when they have their tentacles extended.
Yeah, but they're not, that's not a big one. A big one is 40 foot.
Get out. Seriously?
No, totally serious.
Right there off the coast of Tacoma, you can see these critters. How hard is it to find one of these big monsters?
Well, you find them on almost every dive, depending where you go. And then the wolf eels, it's sort of like playing with a seal. They come out on the dives, they check you out. A lot of divers have been known to feed these things. Mm-hmm. So at common dive sites where divers, you know, they probably shouldn't be feeding, but it happens.
Yeah.
And so the next thing you know, these things are almost a pet. They come out there expecting a handout.
Yeah. So they're curious, and they come out and greet the divers. They don't they don't act aggressively or anything, but they're just saying, "Hey, you got anything for me? Let me take a look." Okay. Well, I just wanted to say hi.
Yep. One place called the Wolf Eel Condos. And the first time I dove that site, and they said, okay, now when you get in front of the condos, just kneel down, and the wolf eels will come check you out. Well, I'd never done this before, but I did what I was told. I just kind of knelt down, and the next thing I know, this wolf eel comes out, and they've got a head the size of a basketball.
Right.
And they've got this big, amazing, huge row of teeth, and they look kind of vicious, and you're thinking, holy moly, you know? It showed all my discipline. Well, this wolf eel swam between my legs.
Hello.
Yes, yes, you know, and so anyway, it was a little exciting.
Yeah,
great diving. The Northwest is known for its amazing sea life, basket scars, giant nudibranch, all kinds of sea life, because these cold, nutrient rich water just feeds this sea life. It's fantastic.
Well, you know, I've heard of these giant octopus before. I've seen video, but I, you know, it's hard to tell from a video how big they are. I had no idea that a 20-foot across octopus was just a small to medium-sized giant octopus.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But so when they get that big, are they a little bit more, I don't know, should be a little bit more wary of them when you're a diver? That big, they could, like, engulf you if they're that big, couldn't they?
Oh, they can. In fact, they're incredibly strong. A friend of mine lost his camera to an octopus a couple weeks ago. He was taking the octopus's picture. The octopus got curious about this camera, so it just reached out and grabbed the camera and was stronger than the diver.
Really? He lost his camera to an octopus.
Yeah, he lost his camera to the octopus.
Interesting.
And then he went back up to the surface, told everybody about it. And, of course, it's several $1,000s. So they went back down for it, didn't find it on that dive. A couple of days later, they went back to the dive site, and there it was, laying right at the mouth of the den. The octopus had taken it in there and played with it, I guess.
Taking a few shots, got pictures of a couple wolf eels,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Shot up underwater porno, who knows, right?
We're thinking about giving them an award, you know, for the best octopus shot there, but we've actually got a picture of it on the website.
And that website address is what? Where can people go check that out?
DiveNewsNetwork.com.
There you go, DiveNewsNetwork.com. Yep. Well, you've piqued my interest. I didn't ask you what the temperature of the water was. That was very deliberate, so I wouldn't deter me from coming out there. But go ahead.
Absolutely.
What is it running right now? Go ahead and tell me.
Well, it's a balmy 45 degrees.
45, okay, it's a dry suit, but hey, giant octopus, yep. Wolf eels. Let me think about it. All right, more coming up. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
On the phone with me right now is Dan from Reef Safe, the official sun care products of Scuba Radio, by the way. Big news going on. I don't know, when is this happening? Like in a few weeks at Marineland? You're working with them on some big anniversary date, right there, Dan?
Marineland's 75th anniversary, and they're having an anniversary party up there. I believe it's the third weekend in May.
Okay, and you guys obviously are a big supporter of that. They've been doing a lot of work there at Marineland, the oldest marine park or marine aquarium complex in the world or something like that. Is that right?
I believe that's absolutely true, Greg. And so we've been asked to help participate up there, and we co-branded some rash guards for the staff with the Marineland 75th anniversary logo and the Reef Safe logo, as well as some T-shirts.
Yeah, now Marineland is located, I want to say up towards St. Augustine, but that's not right, is it, or is it?
Yeah.
It is, okay.
Go up, head north on A1A, or south if you're coming from Jacksonville area. And Marineland's an actual little city town, just about a half-hour drive south of St. Augustine.
Okay. It's been a few years since I've been out there. I know they were having some tough times, but they've come back big time. They've been doing a lot of renovations, which obviously Reef Safe has been supporting. What's going on up there right now?
Well, 2 years ago, January, Georgia Aquarium up in Atlanta purchased Marineland, and they've been doing some major renovations to the mechanical equipment, and they just refurbished the main dolphin pool, and it is gorgeous, beautiful.
Nice. Do you have any idea if they got some diving elements planned for the park here in the future?
I know they're adding a sea turtle holding tanks. Diving, I think they're pretty much just swim with dolphin adventures there.
Yeah, well, hey, that's something right there. That is a blast. I went up there last time. I want to say it was probably about 6 years ago. And they were talking about incorporating some, you know, in the water programs and maybe, you know, obviously they have people that have to maintain the tanks and stuff. So that might be a good gig for someone listening, but It's the 75th anniversary of Marineland. ReSafe is a sponsor, and of course, they are a sponsor of Scuba Radio, so we support both. Dan, thank you so much, buddy.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it. Hope we see you there.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hi, my name is Ravi. I'm from zip-fiji.com.
Oh my God, I'm twisting around. I'm backwards. Help me! Oh my God.
You are listening to Scuba Radio.
I'm going to die.
World's first radio show devoted to divers. On a surface interval, don't forget to come zipline with me.
Woo-hoo!
In the meantime, keep listening to Greg the Dive Master. He is also a zipline master.
Yo!
Thank you very much.
I live!
You survived the zip!
Sir Abby, do you have a change of pants or anything I could...
Oh, no.
That was from an experience we had in Fiji. And I still have those pants, by the way. So they're fine. They're good. It all came out in the wash. Maybe a little too much information, but that's what we do here on Scuba Radio. And speaking of cool dive stories, adventures to reflect on, one person in the industry probably has more than just about any other person I know, and that would be Jerry Beatty, and he is actually starting to document these worldwide at jerrybeattyworld.com, and Jerry is on Scuba Radio right now, typing feverishly. You can hear him. And there he goes. Look at him. Go. We're connected via Skype right now, so I can hear everything that's going on. With Jerry. Jerry, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, Greg. I'm doing good. And you're well yourself?
I'm great. I'm great. You're typing your blog as we speak? Is that what's going on back there or what?
You can't. I can't stop my fingers.
Well, that's just what you do. You know, Jerry's been working with Dive Training Magazine for years. But now you're blogging about your personal adventures. It's taken on a whole new level of sharing, so to speak. Right, Jerry?
I'm not quite sure how this happened, but I think it was a burning desire to finally prove to everybody that I am completely out of my mind.
Well, there's two blog posts up there now. You actually have an introduction from the dive god, Neil Watson, to set this up accordingly. But it's good. And what are you doing, by the way, Jerry? What is all that racket? What are you like rustling things around too, or what? Are you literally typing your blog as we speak? You're multitasking?
Okay, I'll quit. I just, you know, this thing got started and it became a monster of its own.
Yes. Well, you have plenty of stories to share. I mean, the first one is kind of an introduction of where you came from when you were a child and that kind of thing, which is quite unique. Your multicultural background as a child is quite a unique story, and you can read that at jerrybeattyworld.com as his opening blog post. But this new one that you just posted up there recently, last day or two, is about adventures in Roatan, right? And you ended up in San Salvador. Can we explain some of this stuff? And I don't know, should we clarify, like, how much of this is true and how much of it has been embellished?
Well, now, I addressed that on the very first blog. I really did. I, you know, I'm not held to the rules of normal people because no Texas resident, no Texan at heart lets the truth get in the way of a good story.
Well, there you go. Okay. But I know you've told these stories before. I've actually heard some of these elements. I've gotten tidbits over the years with, you know, talking to you at some of the bars at the dive shows and that kind of thing. So I know if they are made up or if there's any embellishment, you have done a fine job at massaging them over the years and shaping them into a great story. And this Roatan one is a perfect example, right?
You know, I was taught a great lesson by my friend Captain Don Stewart there, started Captain Don's in Bonaire.
Mm-hmm.
And that is every book he's ever written, he says, is guaranteed 85% true.
Okay.
And as I said, my first blog, I'll probably go on with those lines.
Right.
Actually, this blog, Greg, is about an attempt to get to Roatan.
Right.
I don't believe on that trip, and I'll have to go back and revisit it. Maybe that's another blog, but I don't think I ever actually got to Roatan. But we did start off to go there,
yeah.
And a few interventions happened on the way, and I was lucky enough to come out alive, because firing squad kind of comes to mind for the offense in that blog.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's talk about this a little bit. I don't want to give the whole thing away, but maybe we can fill in some questions I have about reading this blog. Basically, you got diverted to San Salvador, and they put you up in a hotel room there in San Salvador, or Taka Airlines did, for this inconvenience, as they saw fit. You turned it into a nice little dive party with some of your dive friends. The next thing you know, you're like the last guy waiting for a hotel room, and they say have no more rooms in the inn. And you put on it. I don't know what it sounds like, or I read that you kind of put on a little bit of a hissy fit to get your way.
What? I wouldn't exactly describe it that way, but I was being creative.
Yes. Okay.
At that point, and I don't want to give it away, but. It didn't go exactly the way it has gone any other time in my entire life, checking in, and the way I checked out of that hotel.
Yeah, well, maybe we could just say this much. Next thing you know, let's just say they got the impression that you had some serious clout, maybe. Do you think they actually thought you were the president of a country, or were they just trying to accommodate you? What do you think? Can you say that much?
I think there were a lot of Salvadorians in that yard that night that thought they had a major event in their life.
I love it. And back in the day, and you could probably pull that off. I mean, heck, who knows? Maybe even today, you wear the right clothes or whatever. They thought you had presented yourself as a, I don't know, somebody who might have some clout, or they got the impression, or there was some lost thing in translation that next thing you know, they're putting you up in the presidential suite or something. Yeah, you know what? It was pretty amazing. I love the story. And at least 85% of it is at least true, we know, right?
Right, absolutely.
Now, are all these stories you're putting up on the blog, are they... are these being gathered from notes that you took back in the day from like dive logs and things, or is this just coming out as a flood of images from your adventures from days gone by?
It's definitely a flood of memories, and it's funny because this last blog, I've told that story in I don't know how many bars, dive shows, and other places.
Right,
but I had forgotten about it quite a bit, and somebody had read my first blog and said, you need to tell the El Salvador story. And I went, oh, yeah. And that's been happening since I wrote my first blog. I've been getting calls from people I've known for years going, well, what about this one? And now I've got a whole list. I've already got the next blog after this one ready to go. It concerns some activity in an airplane and some things that happened back when I was flying a lot.
Okay.
So I've got quite a few of those as well.
Yeah. I mean, flying obviously was a big part of your travels throughout the world, covering dive stories and locations and that kind of thing. So it's only natural that these stories have a lot of, airplane issues, I guess, or travel issues. So maybe people will pick up a couple tidbits along the way that might help them with their travels, as well as getting a chuckle or two from some of these blog posts. Now, what are you planning to do, Jerry? Is this going to be like you're going to do like a blog a week and just roll these things out for people's entertainment, or what?
Yeah, I'm thinking I'll probably roll a couple a month out, one every 2 weeks. It is strictly for entertainment. There's no business model to it. My kids kind of forced me into it because they're all the time saying, you got to write these down.
Yeah.
So they darn sure better be reading it. That's all I can say.
There you go. Absolutely. Yeah, and you can get up there and you can comment and ask Jerry questions about these stories and stuff and find out exactly, maybe you can ask him enough questions or comments to get to the bottom of what 80% or 85% is true and the 15% that might be added value. Who knows? But it is definitely entertaining reading. Do you have pictures that you're planning to post up of some of these adventures too? Are those long gone.
We'll have a few things that will happen every month. There will be some photos with links. We've got some good ones on there on this post. There's one video of Flight 110 on a Taka flight that's, I think, fairly exciting. We've got a lot of Neil Watson videos that are awesome.
Yeah.
So we've got some of that going on. And we're going to change it up a little bit every time. We're going to have some guest writers in there.
Oh, okay.
And just have a lot of fun with it. Now, when they're on the website, they can subscribe. There's no charge. We will then send out the new blog. As soon as it goes up, it'll come to them, and it'll take them right on the website. Comment. Anybody who looks at the site, please make a comment. If you want to blast it, blast it. You know, if you get a chuckle, let us know. But comments are good.
There you go. At jerrybeattyworld.com. Go there, read it. You'll thank me later. Good stuff, Jerry. And we'll check in with you again real soon, my friend.
Thanks for having me on, Greg.
Coming up, we check in with Pete from Scuba Board. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Greg the Dive Master is sitting by the phone now, wishing it would ring, hoping that it's you on the other end of the line. Tug on his line now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact K7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry and at an affordable price. Go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
Since you can survive underwater, you'll go out and look for food.
I better go too. They don't know what I like.
Fry, no! The pressure will crush you like a green snake under a sugarcane truck.
Not necessarily. This is a chance for Fry to test out my experimental anti-pressure pill. I can't swallow that. Well then, good news. It's a suppository.
Holy diver, you've been down too long in the midnight sea. Oh, what's becoming of me? Ride the tiger, you can see his stripes, but you know he's clean. Oh, don't you know what I mean? Gotta get away, holy diver.
Yeah, Pat Boone doing his thing here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, working Skype a lot today. And we have connected with Net Doc from Scuba Board. We call him Pete. You can call him Net Doc online, but whatever you call him, he's a good guy, and he's on Scuba Radio to give us, I don't know, maybe not your dive report, but one of your posters dive reports from Jupiter, Florida. Is that right, Pete?
That's right, man. What an awesome dive this guy had.
So Jupiter, Florida, what did he see? Or where did he, well, give me the background. He went out with what operation and saw what?
Let me just read his report. It's a guy named S. Shark K. It's like a shark with an S in the front and a K, an extra K on the back.
Okay, S. Shark K. I get it.
S. Shark K. Right, and this is what he wrote.
Yeah.
Bull Sharks Jupiter Trip Report 4/12/2013, which of course is last week.
Right.
Jupiter Dive Center, Friday, three tank dive, check in Marcelo, Captain Mike, deckhand Bogue, dive guide Sandy Cook, viz 20 to 80 feet, water temperature 74 degrees.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, now it gets interesting.
Yeah, all right.
17 bull sharks. The shark migrations are beginning to ramp up.
Wow.
26 Caribbean reef sharks. That's 26, not a typo there. 5 nurseus, 9 jewfish, 2 loggerheads, 2 green turtles, 1 hawksbill, 1 kingfish, 1 school of cobia. He also found the pole spear on the bottom and killed his first ever lionfish with it. Yay.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, well, he found a pole on the bottom and then put it to work.
And then put it to work. How you can't not like that.
That's very creative and or lucky. I don't know. But wait, is all this from one dive? Surely this is from an entire day of diving.
A three tank dive is what he
said. Oh, okay. Three tanks. So it was on 27 there. Reef sharks and what?
17 bulls.
17 bulls. Oh my gosh. That is impressive.
I mean, I would have run out of fingers and toes at this point.
Well, that's true. He must have had a slate or something. I respect folks like that actually document their dive so well. I mean, that sounds like a very complete dive log, you know? Or going above and beyond. I mean, but that's what folks are doing on Scuba Board sometimes, I guess,
right? That's
exactly right.
And they're talking about dive operators. They're talking about gear that they're using. And you can find lots of other fun stuff. Like, did you hear about the lionfish, the first ever lionfish reef cooking event here at the Fish House Encore in Key Largo yesterday?
You know what? We heard about a derby or something going on down there last week. Is that what you're referring to? Was there was going on? What happened?
This is actually they did a
cook-off.
A raising money. It was more a money raiser for Reef. And they had 65 people. They limited it to 65 because they only had so many lionfish. In fact, I understand some of the lionfish was imported from Bimini.
Okay.
Okay, and Reef House Encore, which is a great spot here in Key Largo, were the host, and they cooked us 4 different ways of having lionfish. And they did a little demonstration on how to fillet them without getting hurt. They did a demonstration how to cook them, and then we gorged ourselves on lionfish. It was a wonderful evening.
Okay, 4 types. I'm thinking grilled, blackened, fried, and
sashimi.
And okay, there you go. So I named them. So they fixed.
Well, not quite. It was sashimi was the first one.
Yeah.
I don't think they blackened any of them.
Hmm. Okay.
But so they had one was called the Hemingway, and it's all in their cookbook. If you buy their cookbook from Reef and you support the eradication of lionfish and also Reef.org, which is great.
Well, which technique did you prefer? Which style?
The sashimi.
You like the sushi thing, huh?
Yes, that was the awesome. That's always good.
Really? Okay. And it was just over a little rice ball type of thing, or what are you thinking? Or
they had it over arugula.
Okay. That's some kind of weird
green stuff.
Yeah, but it tasted good, you say, huh?
It tasted better than the arugula.
Okay. Yeah. Just saying the word doesn't sound very appetizing. But yeah, I can imagine. I mean, I've had it as little nuggets and that kind of stuff that I thought were really good. Very flaky. It doesn't taste fishy at all. It's very much like a grouper or white type of fish. Mild type of fish.
Anything like a grouper. It's less fishy than a grouper.
Well, there you go.
It's less fishy than a hogfish. It's the least fishy fish I think I've ever eaten.
Meaty. It's meaty. So if you don't like fish, you might like lionfish, which would be good if people start eating more of it. And creating that demand and that market that might help influence eradicating some of these critters from the marine environment.
They have a new law about lionfish. If you go hunting just for lionfish and all you have on you is the little lionfish spears,
right?
You do not need a fishing license in the state of Florida. And they're going to try and make that a permanent law.
Interesting. I was not aware of that. So that that's a temporary thing that's been put in place at the moment, you're saying?
It's temporary. They're talking about it in Tallahassee yesterday and today about making that permanent. And they're also going to be talking about being able to take these little tiny, because, you know, the spear that you use to kill a lionfish is not very big at all.
Right.
They're talking about letting divers actually shoot on the sanctuary's areas. Just the lionfish down, not the other fish.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. Great information, as always. Thank you so much, Pete. We appreciate it, and we will catch up with you again on scubaboard.com or right here on Scuba Radio. Okay, my friend?
Sounds good. Next time I tell you about the gem rebreather, I'm going to learn on it this weekend.
All right. That sounds like a plan. Okay. Till then, until next week, remember, it's always better down where it's wetter. Good diving, everybody.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.